Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Hello? This is Sherry Penn.
And welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons, where we explore the world of
Bigfoot,
Wolf Viewing,
UFOs,
Demons,
and Psychics.
Please stay tuned for this exciting episode.
Hello?
Well, I don't know if this is working or not. We're having some issues. Hey, Sherry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having some technical problems.
Okay, that's okay. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, there's either a problem with the Blog Talk site or Skype or something, but I'm having some issues, so hopefully it won't keep crashing on me. But,
okay.
Yeah, but it appears to be working fine right now, so we'll just go with it.
Welcome, everybody.
You know, it's been a long time since I've had technical problems doing the show.
Isn't that crazy?
I know. What is up? Anyways, so, well, we're live now, so how are things?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Just another week, keeping busy as usual. I haven't been keeping up with what's been going on in the paranormal, and I'm excited for tonight's guest. And so, if you want to give him a brief intro, I see he's in queue, and we'll bring him on.
Okay. Well, our guest tonight is a certified coach for Law of Attraction. And those of you who don't know about Law of Attraction, it was founded by Esther and Jerry Hicks. And they are well known in the self-help field of how to attract things, positive things in your life. And Warren, that's coming through, will be talking about giving us some tips and suggestions on how to bring positive things in our life, things that we can use, tools, suggestions, whatever. So I'm really excited to have him. This is his first time on the show, and I'm really excited to learn and maybe use it for my personal growth.
Yeah, that is awesome. I have some audio CDs from Dr. Wayne Dyer, and it talks a lot about the Law of Attraction. And as you know, I'm a big believer in it. I believe that thoughts are things, and we attract into life what we want. And I was using the laws of attraction a moment ago when I was having technical problems. I'm like, why won't this just work? Connect. Hey, and it worked.
That's great. That's wonderful. Yay!
All right.
Oh, love it. All right. Well, let's just bring him on so we can have the floor tonight.
All right. We'll bring him on. Hi, Warren.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I don't know. Kind of nervous. This is my first interview online ever, or even on a radio to talk.
So, yeah.
Take a few deep breaths. Hi, Warren.
Hi there.
We're off to a rough start, so I'm using my
positive
thought.
Yeah, especially we're competing with the Academy Awards, too, so.
Oh, yeah. That's tonight, isn't it? So, Warren, tell us a little bit about yourself and let the listeners know about you. And like you probably heard, I'm really excited about learning about the laws of attraction because it's something I wholeheartedly believe in, that thoughts are things and we attract into this life what we what we want and probably attract negative things as well. So, yeah, if you just let everybody know a little bit about yourself and history, and we'll just go from there. Give you the floor.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. My name is Warren Peter Bull. I'm a Plains Cree Indian from Musquechese, Alberta, up in Canada. And I've been studying the Law of Attraction since 2008. Not by choice, mind you. Actually, what happened was my first marriage came to an end. Like, you know, it was a good marriage. Everything was working out. And, you know, when everything is brought to you on a silver platter, and it happens too often, very often as human beings, we forget to appreciate that act that's done for us. And over time, when you forget to appreciate, you start losing things. And, well, to make a long story short, my marriage it came to an end. And at that time, I thought the world as I knew it came to an end. So the only thing I could think of at the time was to get through my pain was, well, you know, we're not all perfect. We're human beings, and we're subject to whatever we could think of to take care of our pain. And at that time, I took the drugs and the alcohol, but that was only temporary, like maybe a few days. And I got really, really sick. And because of what I am, like a North American Indian or First Nations up in Canada, about that time, there was a powwow, an Indian celebration. And my kid sister told me, well, let's go to this. You need this. And I said, no, I'm going to stay home, and I'm going to stay home and just, you know, I don't want to deal with anyone. And she pretty much yelled at me, you're going. So, all right, I'm going. Okay. So we go there, and you know, just feeling really sorry for myself. Like, I hit rock bottom. Like, I really, you know, put it to be really negative about it, I didn't want to live anymore. That's how much I was in pain. And I found peace at this powwow. It gave me something to look forward to, because I could fall back on my culture, and I felt great about it. So on the way back, I was talking to my sister Trina, and I told her, Trina, don't laugh at me, but thank you for bringing me to this powwow, and I want to get into dancing. Because at the time when this all happened, I was 41 years old. And the marriage I was married into a Christian family, like, you know, bless them. I really loved them. But unfortunately, some religions, when it comes to the native culture, there's a few things that they don't agree upon. And very often, if it's something they don't agree upon, if it's something that's not of, well, God or whatever, they automatically think it's evil. So, yeah, I don't mean to get off topic. I just wanted to establish that I hit rock bottom, and there was no other direction to go but up. Shortly after that, my niece came to me and gave me this book, The Secret. And I asked her, what is this? It's the book about the law of attraction. And I remember I told her, yeah, I remember this book. I remember seeing it a lot in my first marriage, and I remember at the time I thought it was a cult. Believe it or not, I did believe it was a cult, because I didn't understand the concept of changing your mindset for everything to work out your way. Because I was raised with a strict Christian upbringing, anything outside of that was not accepted. Well, anyway, I took the book from my niece, and, you know, I read a few pages into it, and wow, I was amazed. I didn't realize just by changing your mindset, your outlook on life, that could change everything for the better. And it all boils down to being grateful and appreciative for everything that you have. So when I started doing that, appreciation, gratitude, all right, I'm feeling sorry for myself. Well, what do I have to be grateful for? All right, well, simply, I thought my life ended. Well, a light was given to me. My niece gave me this book. So quite literally, this new concept saved my life. It may sound cliche, but no, really, it did save my life. Because right after that, I focused on the positive end result. Now, that's where I'll get into the law of attraction. The law of attraction is you attract what you're thinking about. Basically, whatever feeling and intent and thought you're feeling at the moment, that is what you're attracting to you. So, for example, you wake up in the morning and it's Monday morning, you're already thinking, oh, crap, Monday, you know, it's going to be a long day. And, you know, just by those thoughts alone, you just sabotage yourself. Why? Because you put feeling into it that it's already going to bring you down. It's already going to bring you down, and you already think your world, not your world, but the day isn't going to work out. But what we don't realize is that, well, Monday is just a day. The word Monday is just a label for a day. It doesn't matter what sequence, it's still a day. We've all been programmed to believe that Monday, or the whole work week, is bad, especially after you've enjoyed your weekend and, oh, crap, I got to get back to work, you know, just blah, blah, blah.
Well, like me tonight.
In order to enjoy your work week, you just have to change your way of thinking. Change your mindset. Start appreciating everything about your work. What's the worst thing that you could think of about your job? Well, for starters, you don't have one. All right? So when you think of that, then you start thinking, okay, well, I guess I should be grateful that I have a job. I mean, yeah, there's really nothing I'm going to stress out today. It's just Monday, and everyone's saying it's going to be crap. But really, nothing has happened to me yet. So just by a change of mindset, what I like to tell people is Monday to Friday, that could be a five-day work week or a five-day weekend. It's up to you how you want to enjoy it. So what you do is, you wake up in the morning, and the moment you wake up when you're tired, that is the opportune time. Start thinking what you are grateful for. It doesn't matter how simple or complex. Be grateful for something. So, for example, you wake up, you're thinking, oh, great. I am so happy and grateful I woke up to a brand new day. I'm so happy and grateful that I can walk. The reason why I brought that up is because in 86, I was in a car accident. I broke my back, and I've literally had to walk again. So that is one of my daily affirmations that I am thankful for, that I can walk. And anything else that comes to mind, be grateful for it. Why? Because you put your mind at a mindset or a vibration where when you start feeling good about yourself, your mind, your body starts giving off a positive energy, a positive field that's not only forcing it out, I mean sending it out, it's also attracting like energy. Well, like I said before, like attracts like. So if you're happy and grateful for the moment and grateful for who you are, well, guess what? You're going to start attracting like energy, like circumstances, like people. So if you have any questions, just allow me to get my breath here.
I tend to be, and I don't know why, I always have been kind of negative. And I've always a really kind of not happy person because I worry about everything. No matter how, I don't know how I would say this, but, you know, with all the problems that come in life, I always worry about the worst possible scenario, no matter how likely that scenario would be. And that's kind of the way that my brain has been trained, that I've trained myself to always worry. So as a result, I always worry about everything. I could take an example such as work. You know, I make mistakes at work, and everybody makes mistakes because it's a really complex job. But to me, every time I make a mistake, I assume I'm going to get, you know, fired or disciplined and stuff like that. But that's kind of how I approach life, and I'm interested in changing that those thoughts and behaviors so that I can start attracting more positiveness, because things kind of aren't going so well right now. So I'm really interested in changing that. And that's why I was excited to get you on the show tonight, was because, you know, I want to make a conscious, concerted effort to start changing those thought patterns. Okay. Like you're saying, be more positive, start in the beginning of the day. And that's going to be hard to do, especially with somebody like me that's so ingrained in worry and being negative about things.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, one thing I like to do is when I talk to a client, the first thing I ask them is, like with you right now, you're talking about the stresses of your job, and after telling me all that, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, well, what was the attractor factor for you to get that job? I mean, was it something that, that made you happy, that made you feel good when you worked there, or, you know, just...
Well, it's really interesting. I spent 20 years catching shoplifters and being a private investigator, and I never really enjoyed that line of work. So what happened was, and I must have manifested this, I actually got hurt chasing a shoplifter, and as a result of that injury, it enabled me to go back to school. And because I graduated from school in like laboratory science, I actually got a laboratory job really easily. I think I had only applied for 5 jobs. I was kind of surprised. And I ended up getting hired at a regional laboratory. So I think I attracted, you know, that job into my life relatively easily, which was good. And I like my job. It's just, it's stressful.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I could relate with you in that because I worked with the police service for 18 years. A year before I found out about the law of attraction, I went from being a police dispatcher to a school resource officer, then back to dispatching. I mean, don't get me wrong, policing is a very, very good career. But the only problem with it was that I wasn't the right character for it, for the uniform, because you wear the uniform, you represent justice, integrity, good, everything having to do with that. But unfortunately, we've been programmed to believe that police are whoever they're going to deal with, they're going to beat up and treat, you know, improperly, blah, blah, blah. As a result, there is that negative stigma towards police that, you know, that it's okay to hate them. At least that's how I observed it, because after a while, it was stressful for me. I was making good money, and, you know, I was even working on my own reservation, if you can believe that. So every time I had to deal with a client, many times I'd always throw out a family card and the guilt trip, you know, why are you doing this for family? And, you know, yeah, I appreciate that, but I'm also doing a job, you know, I'm trying to keep the peace of this reserve. So, yeah, just think about that before you start judging me. But anyway, when it comes to that career, I got tired of people not liking me, all because of the uniform, what the uniform represented. I got tired of people already being labeled like, you know, he's a cop, don't talk to him, he's the enemy. You know, don't get me wrong, policing is very needed. It's, you know, you got to have the right temperament for it. And I'm very grateful for anyone, including you, that, you know, that at least made their effort to do something, and, you know, they did their part, and now it's time to move forward to find new avenues of happiness and enjoyment, you know?
And that's exactly what I think it is where my mindset was kind of established, was dealing with negativity for so many years. It's not a police officer, but you're dealing with thieves and drug users and
yeah,
negativity, and, you know, decade after decade. I think that took a toll and kind of formulated my mindset to be negative. Oftentimes, people look at me and, you know, wonder why I don't smile. I always look like I'm pissed off, even though I'm not. That's just my persona. And so, yeah, I think that's just my work history has a lot to do with it, having to be so serious all the time and be in serious situations for so many years. It's kind of given me a negative outlook on, you know, life. Although it doesn't take much.
I was going to say, wow, Jason, it sounds like you're describing me too, because I got that very serious look on my face. People think I'm mad when I'm not.
Yes.
You know, just
I have, and it doesn't help. I'm very big and I'm very scary looking. So, but the reality is I'm actually super nice, caring, compassionate. I just have this air of me of not being a nice person, and then the internal side of it being having these negative thoughts, which I want to change. I just don't know how, because it's been so long. I never can really see the positive side of things that often. That sort of involves kitties, because I like kitties. That makes me think positive thoughts.
All right. Well, I don't want to get off topic here. Back to law of attraction. Whenever I deal with a complaint, in order for a client to understand of how changing your mindset works, I like telling them this favorite story of mine. One of the speakers, his name is Jack Canfield. He's the author, or one of the co-authors, of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Well, on one of his videos, I think it was for The Secret, a live stage show, and he was on, and the story he talked about was about NASA, how they changed their, how they trained their astronauts. So this is how it goes. When NASA was training its astronauts, it took one group of astronauts, and they put them through this experiment. They had them wear convex lenses. So what that did was, when they put those glasses on, it turned their image upside down. So everything they looked at was upside down. And they had to wear these goggles 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until the experiment was done. And what they noticed, that right around the 25th day, between 25 days and 30 days, they noticed the change. They noticed that their minds, their brains, had rewired themselves to change their vision right side up. So what was originally upside down from these convex goggles, it took about 25 days for their mind, their brain, to rewire the programming so their vision was corrected. Now, with that, with the same experiment, they took another group of astronauts. But halfway through the experiment, they gave them a break, a day break. They let them rest for one day. They took their glasses off . And then the following day, they had to put the goggles back on. What they noticed was day 25, nothing happened. Day 30, still nothing. It wasn't until about day 45, that's where things changed. That's where their vision was corrected. So from this experiment, they figured out that consecutive reprogramming, daily consecutive reprogramming, 25 to 30 days of consecutive reprogramming, that'll trigger the brain to rewire itself to accept new programming. So when it comes to lifelong paradigms, like growing up, like we've all been led to believe that money is the source of all evil. Well, if it's so evil, why do we need it to survive? So basically, that experiment was, on the physical level, that programming does work. Consecutive programming. The brain rewired itself. That's how it works when it comes to reprogramming of a mindset, like a law of attraction, how you see things. In this case, you see the good in everything. No matter if it appears bad, always look for the good in it. Kind of like a storm. You get dark storm clouds, it's pouring rain, and you're getting soaked, and you're thinking, oh, this sucks, this is really bad, I don't want to stay here, but no, just relax, just change your mindset. What's good about this storm? Well, it's irrigating the plants, because after a good storm, well, guess what, everything turns super green, especially here in Oregon. I mean, after our winter-long rains, and the summer finally shows up, everything is super green. It's almost like a magical night, almost like the Garden of Eden. That's how beautiful it is. So basically, that same thing works for, you got to change your mindset. So like what you just told me about your 20 years career with being a private investigator and police-related work, doing investigations It is starting to stress you out. Well, if you're ready for change, start seeing the good in everything. And the moment you wake up, just start saying you're grateful. I'm so happy and grateful for waking up to a new day. I am so happy and grateful for being me. I'm so happy and grateful for being Jason Ophir. Is that your last name? How you pronounce it?
Ophir.
I'm so happy and grateful to be Jason Ophir. Jason Ophir, as you're looking in a mirror, Jason, I love you. We're going to work together to make us a better person. Do what I tell you to do, and our future selves will thank you for this.
So that sounds. I'm going to try. I'm going to give it an effort. You know, this sometimes seems like that's so hard to do when all the negativity happens, but obviously, you know, being negative all the time isn't attracting the things into life that I want, so it's not going to hurt to try something new.
Mm-hmm. But there's another thing, too, about where you're feeling that everything, if you feel that everything seems negative and you just feel you can't, you know, get through it and your energy is getting really low and you're feeling so blah, where eventually you get pissed off and you yell out, enough! Well, actually, just by doing that, anger is a good thing. Anger is a good thing because it's the realization to you that something has to change. If you're not sure what it is that has to change, then simplify it. Change your mindset. See the good in everything. If you're thinking that, well, this was the worst day of my life, this day was total crap, blah, 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 you're getting carried away. Then, no, stop right there. This day already happened. It's the past. Go to sleep. Go sleep it off. The moment you wake up, start again. Be grateful for everything. And then it'll open opportunities where, okay, I think I interrupted you there, so go ahead.
Oh, just a quick question. Can people attract, like, illnesses into their life, diseases that manifest?
Actually, from what I've researched, a lot of times illnesses is your body's response to how you're thinking. If you're always thinking bad stuff, like the life is really stressful, you don't want to go to work anymore, you'll think of anything to avoid what stresses you out. I mean, like to put it simply, like, you know, we were all kids when we went to school. There were some days where we didn't want to go to school. So what did we do? We actually convinced ourselves we were sick. And believe it or not, if you did a good job of it, your body actually started manifesting, like, you're sniffling and coughing and, you know.
Like a psychosomatic illness, you know, where
yeah.
You start creating, yeah. Huh.
But when it comes to illnesses, this is kind of a touchy subject. I'll be careful how I answer this one. When it comes to generational illnesses, like, let's just say cancer runs in a family, like with my family, it's diabetes. And now your question was, do we attract illnesses? Well, we do in a sense if we keep dwelling on, if it's a family generational thing, that's enough right there. Because if you've watched The Secret, one of the things you will be taught about the law of attraction, too, is you'll hear phrases like, what you resist persists. So it's just like, mm-hmm. You got this angry dog that's always barking at you, and you're telling yourself, I'm going to ignore that dog. But he's still barking at you. But deep down, you know that if that dog gets real loose, there's a chance he's going to bite you. So there's fear right there. Just by ignoring him. You're already putting thoughts in there that if that thing gets loose, he's going to hurt me and blah, blah, blah. So you have to see the good in everything. So the dog barking. Okay, he's just a dog. Leave it at that. He's just barking. I can continue. So when it comes to diseases like cancer, diabetes, you can tell, I've heard stories or read stories too where people would say, well, my mother, my grandmother, she died of cancer, but I am not going to fall to that. Well, unfortunately, just by putting that feeling and intent into that, there's a chance that you're going to attract it anyway. Because the one thing with the law of attraction, you have to understand the language between you and the universe. From your point of view, how you're commuting, how you are communicating is through words and thoughts. But from the universe's point of view, the universe interprets what you were feeling at the moment. It doesn't focus on what exactly it is you're thinking of. So an example, I don't want this dog to attack me. Well, from the universe's point of view, the universe, let's just say I'm the universe. Well, from my point of view, you put feeling into the fear of that dog. So that tells me that, well, he's really putting a lot of energy and feeling into the fear of this dog. Well, I guess that's what he wants, so I'm going to keep sending him more energy like that. Remember I said, like attracts like, be it positive or negative. So if you're going to have continuous negative thoughts that usually include fear, which is a feeling, the universe is going to continue sending more energy that's going to keep you in that frame of mind, that fear of this dog that's right there. So what you have to do is just change your mindset. It's just a dog barking, nothing more. Continue on with what you were doing.
So it's best not to think about it positively or negatively. Just don't think about it.
Yeah. But if you truly believe there is a danger, then you can start with questions like shortcuts on how to deal with things like that. If the dog's going to freak you out, or you're scared the dog's going to bite you, maybe in your mind you could think of, well, wouldn't it be cool if somebody just showed up to remove this dog? Did you know that thoughts like that, thoughts with a question, you're actually giving a request to the universe? Because the thing with the law of attraction, you've got to be careful of self-talk, self-thought, especially when it comes to yourself. So when I'm dealing with clients that want to attract good things, positive things, especially clients that are lonely, that want to attract their soulmate, I tell them, well, start acting like the person you want to attract. If you want to attract somebody that's going to support you in your job, then start acting like that way towards yourself. Look in the mirror, say to yourself, I love you, I love who you are, I'm glad and I'm grateful for what we do, and I appreciate every little thing that comes to me. Either if it's negative, if something bad happens to me, believe it or not, something good comes from that because I learned from that. Everything that comes to you, whether it's bad or good, is a learning experience. And knowledge is power. The more you get it, the more powerful, the more... I don't mean to sound Vader-ish, like you're going to be all powerful and whatnot. But the more you know, the more comfortable you could handle anything that comes your way. So.
But isn't it, Warren? Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, Sherry.
Everything that happens, it's kind of like out of fear. We don't have enough money. We're going to lose our job. We're not going to attract the right person. So it sounds like we come from a state of lack. I mean, not having enough. So, like you said, if you can change your mindset and say, I do have enough, I appreciate what I have, then you make room whatever's coming. Is that correct?
Yes. But when it comes to that, what you just said is like, let me simplify it. A child, for instance, your child asks your child wants to do something for you. He says, Mommy, can I color this picture for you? He says, go right ahead. They go out, take this picture. They put their love, their effort, and whatnot, and they give it to you. They show you, here you go, Mom, this is for you. You look at it. Awesome, my girl. This is so beautiful. You know, you give her a hug. You compliment her. You say, you are such a talented artist. I am so grateful. I appreciate this for you. Thank you. From the child's point of view, that is the best thing you can do. Because one thing children love, they love appreciation. They love gratitude. So when it comes to doing something, like if you ask a child to do something for you, or they want to do something for you, like what I just said, you appreciate their efforts, well, guess what? When a child receives that, that's the best thing they can feel, and they're going to want to do more for you. As opposed to a teacher ordering a child, okay, John, you're going to pick a picture from that. Okay, that dog, I want you to draw him. You have 10 minutes to draw that dog now. And he's like, well, I'm not really an artist. I don't care, just draw it. So it's kind of like, if you're going to be given an order to do something, you're going to be a bit reluctant, because a lot of times, well, we'd like to be asked nicely. And so because of that, you know, you're not going to put a 100% effort. You probably even screw it up. But from the child's point of view, when you show that appreciation, that gratitude, they're going to put more energy into it, their heart into it. They're going to try to make it, in their eyes, as perfect for you as possible, because they love what they're doing, and they love the feeling of appreciation that you give them. So when it comes down to it, all of us, every one of us, adults, we are all children that want to be appreciated, especially when it comes to parents. Like when we're dealing with our teenage, you know, children, you know, you're getting after them because they're not cleaning their rooms or whatnot, or they're not doing their homework. And that generation, or at least that age limit, that age group, they're so used to hearing negative comments from parents. So as a result, they're going to block out the parents. Now, if you want to get through that, if you want to strengthen that line of communication with your child, then start pointing out all the good things that they've done, their strengths, their talents. If they did a homework assignment and they got a high mark, like an A-, A+, give them a hug. Tell them, I am so grateful you made an effort to do this. It doesn't really matter if it was an A, B, or C. At least show appreciation that they made that effort, that no matter what they did or how they approached it, nothing is going to change your love for them. The moment we start hearing things like that, somebody shows appreciation towards us for doing something we were asked, we're going to want to do more the next time we're asked. We might even put 110% more than what they asked for, all because our work was appreciated.
And I did want to ask you real quick, would you be interested in taking any questions from callers? And we did have a few callers, but they were on hold for a little bit, but they dropped off. Would you be interested in taking callers if they call back?
I will try. Yes, okay.
So anybody that was on hold, if you call back, we'll try and get you in to ask questions. So that's all I wanted to add.
Okay.
So it's very interesting to me how the law of attraction works. And like I said, I'm going to make an extra effort to think more positively about things, even when things are going down. It's easy to get depressed. I just watch the news and all the horrible stuff that's going on in the world. That's enough to bring anybody down. But so you can attract pretty much, you can change your thoughts and attract money, relationships, anything like that?
Yes, you can. It all starts with you. So let's just say you want to attract your soulmate. You want to attract a spouse, a girlfriend, boyfriend. So what you do is, as soon as you wake up, you do your gratitude thing, what you're grateful for. You bring up your personal vibration. You bring up your personal energy, because whatever energy you're giving off, you're also attracting like energy. So in your morning ritual there, you're telling yourself that you love who you are. Start loving yourself. Start loving everything you do. If you're overweight, then, you know, love your appearance, but you're loving the fact that you have the freedom to change your appearance. And you're very grateful for whatever changes, that positive changes that come your way. You know, it's all temporary. If you got a big potbelly gut like I do, that's only temporary. It's a keg, you know. If I work on it, I can have a six-pack in no time. You know, it's a change of mindset, you know. That's all you have to do. So when you want to attract something, okay, you want to attract a spouse, a girlfriend, boyfriend, or soulmate, then start acting like who you want to attract. But like I said earlier, it has to be consecutive. So every day when you wake up, if you're trying to attract somebody special, well, rather than thinking about that special somebody, start focusing on you. How can you make yourself a better person? Well, then start being grateful for everything that you, what you are, what you've acquired, what you may have lost. Yeah, you can be grateful for things you've lost, because in some sense, like, okay, with me, policing wasn't for me. You know, I lost a good paying career, but it wasn't for me because I didn't like it that people hated me. That was a loss, but I appreciated that it wasn't for me. So you just got to see the good in everything. In other words, I like to call it, you know, look for diamonds in the rough. Diamonds in the rough are all over. So when it comes to the law of attraction, if you're trying to attract somebody, a new job, or something new, you have to start believing that it's already yours. You have to believe that you deserve it. Let's just say, for example, you want to, with me, I want to be a multimillionaire. I want my own jet, blah, blah, blah. But one thing I have to do is, if I want a jet, then I got to do a little bit of research as to what kind of jet I want. How much is it going to cost to upkeep it, you know, to store it? How much is it going to cost to hire the crew to run it, the maintenance crew to keep up with the repairs and whatnot? You have to be aware of the realities of what you want, like changes, so that you can incorporate that into your thinking. So as opposed to saying, okay, I want a brand new jet, blah, 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 and then it comes to you, but then you realize, wait a minute, I didn't know that I had to pay for the gas or to pay for the crew to run it, or, you know. You gotta start programming the mindset that you're already living it. You already have it. The exercise there is to work on your feeling, the feeling of happiness, gratitude, appreciation for having it.
Can I ask you a question? Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know,
go ahead, Jason.
Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry, we're interrupting each other.
We're on the
you
same
first.
Page. Anyway, how does law of attraction comes to attracting things that are, we're faced with challenges, whether they're people or circumstances? Again, is it because we are attracting that through our daily life, or is it supposed to be a lesson? I mean, how does the law of attraction come into play with that when you're dealing with daily life?
When you're talking about attracting people, like in the workplace and blah, 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 was there either negative or whatever. Basically, it's you. You're the one that is your outlook on the world, how you see people, how you see the world work. So if you want to change things, change your outlook. Career-wise, see the good in it. If something appears negative, try and see the good in it, why it was done, why it happened, what can be learned from it. if we keep dwelling on negative things, we'll never get forward. It's just like dwelling on, remember when we were kids, when it snowed a lot, we got into snowball fights and whatnot, and you get hit in the face real good by your best buddy. Well, all of a sudden, you're mad and you're holding a grudge. You want to pay your buddy back. Well, guess what? Because of the law of attraction, you put so much negative feeling into revenge, you're actually hurting yourself when you do that. Because it all boils down to you, how you are with the world, how you are with things, and how you are with your friend, for instance. And right now, your friend has upset you, he hurt you, and you want to pay him back, even if it takes years to pay him back. There's people like that. Unfortunately, I'm one of them. Like, I'll admit, I do have a temper, and that's one of the reasons why I got into this, so I can have a better life. But what I'm saying is that grudges, tempers, revenge is like holding a handful of red-hot charcoal that you're ready to throw at somebody. You're going to end up hurting yourself first before you attempt your attack. If your attack could even come, you're going to do more damage to yourself. So if it's something that's already happened, then let it go. You learn from it. It was a stupid, childish mistake. It happens when we're children. Children will be children. Leave it at that. Don't dwell on it. Move on. Because when we dwell on negativity, anger, that prevents us from enjoying life. For example, if somebody hurt me really bad, and then I ended up hating them for years. Even years after they died, I still hate them. Well, just by that feeling, I'm actually hurting myself because I let this person get to me. I let them affect me in the worst way possible. It halted my growth. It halted my life. Because my anger towards how they hurt me interrupted that. So if you want to get past that, we all hear that saying, or it may sound cliche to many, but it does work. You have to forgive. Forgive that person or situation for hurting you. It doesn't mean that you forgive him for hurting you. You're forgiving yourself for allowing him to affect your life.
Wow, that's great.
So once you've forgiven yourself, then you can move forward. But very often, sometimes our past will still haunt us. Like, even for example, like before I came on the show tonight, I was pacing back and forth. I was nervous. But what I've learned was, in my mind, I yelled, "Knock it off! This isn't a weekend course you just took. You've been studying, you've been researching this since 2008. You know what you're talking about, so relax." You know?
I know I need to tell myself to relax a lot like that.
Yeah.
But I was thinking earlier, you know, I bet people attract things into their life that they don't really realize that they attract. And that might be the case most of the time. But I was thinking in terms of materialistically, there were a couple times when I wanted to get a motorcycle and there was no way for me to do it. But the universe in such a fashion made that happen in a really inexplicable ways. And I had thought about it a couple times, like, well, that's kind of weird how that happened and I was allowed to get that motorcycle, because it was completely improbable. So I bet in some way, some ethereal, spiritual, universal way, I attracted that into my life and the universe made it happen.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it, too, is the universe is aware of all the energy and feeling that you put into that, into you wanting that bike. It's aware of it. So the periods where you think you're going to get it, well, guess what? That bike is coming closer to you.
Mm-hmm.
Then the moment you start thinking, but how can I afford it, you know, and then, oh, okay, then the bike starts moving away from you because you've already told the universe, well, there's doubt that I'm ever going to get this bike, but I really want it. I believe one day I'm going to have it. Then the bike starts coming closer, you know. That's what I said earlier. You have to be aware of the language, the feeling, the intention, and the thought behind it. So in this case, because you really wanted that bike, focus on what kind of bike. Be as descriptive as possible as to what kind of bike you want, but also make sure that whatever it is you're visualizing, that is going to make you happy. It has to make you happy, and you have to believe it's going to happen, that it's coming to you. You have to believe you deserve it. You have to believe you already have it. Because when you believe you already have it, the universe is hearing, okay, he already owns a bike. Okay, he says he owns a bike. Okay, all right, I got to send him a bike. All right, bike on the way.
And this might be off topic, but I'm really curious on what your opinion is. Is, you know, we talk about the universe and attracting what we want. What is the purpose, in your opinion, of us being here on this earth? Is this a learning experience? Why are we put in this position to begin with?
Hmm.
I mean, it's like the ultimate question that everybody asks themselves. But I'm curious of opinions. You know, why are we here?
Okay, well, when it comes to the law of attraction, when it comes to the universe, we have to, you know, be aware like what the universe represents to us. To me, the universe is a high level, high energy being. The universe has many names, even God. Like I don't wanna step on any toes here, but these are my personal beliefs that, you know, God or whatever higher deity you believe in, that's how it works. Now, your question as to why are we here, I'll put it in a question to you if you were a parent, okay? Well, why did you have your kids?
That's a good question.
Well, a lot of times,
I don't have any kids, but I understand.
Right, well, let's just say you did.
Yeah.
Why did you have your children? Well, very often the children are a result of the union between you and your wife or you and your partner. That union is love. Love is a result of children. So to really simplify your question, why are we here? Well, we were put on this planet by a higher source. I'll say God. We were put on this planet by God because he loved us. We were created in his image. But he made it clear that he gave us free will. Otherwise, if we didn't have free will, then we're basically, you know, just, you know, for all intents and purposes, sheep. You know, you do what you're told to do. And, you know, it's hard to detect any kind of love from an entity you put that kind of programming into, like, do you love me? Well, if you want me to love you, I will. You know? That's why free will, love, that is why we have that choice to either expand ourselves physically, metaphysically, spiritually, or we have that free will, that choice to let us just wither away if we don't want to live, like if we don't appreciate what's in front of us. We have that choice. Either way, we were put on this planet for love and to inhabit and to live. not only were we built in God's image, but we were also built to be creative. We were not built or created to be poor, to live in poverty. We were built, we were created to prosper, to live, to love, to expand, to nurture each other. I hope that's a good enough answer for you why we were put on this planet.
It makes sense
quite
to
simply,
me. I mean, I like
quite simply the universal language there, the main catalyst or the main variable there is love.
I like the analogy of the mother and child. I mean, and that resonates with me. I was just curious because I've asked that question of a lot of people when we start talking about spirituality and stuff like that. But you know, time flies because we only have a few minutes left. So I wanted to make sure to give you an opportunity to tell anybody if you have a way that people can contact you if you want them to, or where they can learn more.
Okay. Well, my main deal here is I practically live on Facebook.
Well, don't we all?
So, yeah, so every morning I always log in. I'm, you know, doing daily affirmations for my sister and other friends, too. And so if you got any questions for me, just contact me on Facebook or even through your website there, Paranormal Horizons, and I'll get the message through there. And if you want, you could even add me to your list of friends and I can help you more through there. I go by the name of Peter Bull. There's a picture of me and my wife on there, and the cover page is of me and my powwow regalia dancing. Me and my
awesome.
Uncle dancing at a powwow. That's all you'll know. So if you want any questions, you can contact me through Facebook.
Cool. Well, we're how about – oh, go ahead, Sherry.
I said that's wonderful.
I'm sorry that I got a little carried away, that I didn't have time to talk to a caller, but sometimes I really get caught up on the wave of energy that I just, oh, I don't know. You probably felt it when I was singing. I really put a lot of feeling into it, you know, so, yeah.
Well, I definitely, you know, I'm going to make, like I said earlier, I'm going to make a conscious effort to change my thought pattern for me personally, because obviously what I've done thus far is not working for me. So I'm not attracting into my life what I want. So if something's not working, it needs to change.
All I could say, okay, sorry, I keep interrupting. All I can say is just focus on what it is you want. Do it daily. Put gratitude, appreciation, and love and belief that you already have it. Never mind the how. Keep your mind and eyes open for diamonds in the rough, as I call them. Diamonds in the rough are opportunities that will get you to your destination closer. So in this case, let's just say you really want this bike. So a diamond in the rough could be, well, maybe a job on the side came up at the requirements to do this job. Basically, it's perfect for you. You know, it's only a day job or whatever, and there's enough money there to put aside to save up for this bike. Everything that you see is an opportunity to get to what you want. Unfortunately, the law of attraction is it only gives you things that you need to do. You have to be aware as a person to act on what you see. Otherwise, if you just see that money there, well, guess what? If you're not going to act on it, it's going to float on right by beside you. I'm not saying that's the end. I'm just saying is that if you lose appreciation for things, then they'll slowly move away from you to eventually they'll quit coming to you. But it can be easily corrected once you start being grateful again and do it daily.
And that makes sense. If somebody had all the money in the world, money would be a lot less exciting.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have its, you know, the same sort of impact. But yeah, we're out of time. And I want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, I'm very grateful that that you invited me, that I really enjoyed myself doing this.
Awesome. Did you have anything else, Sherry?
No, not at all. Thank you. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your words of wisdom and your coaching ideas with all of us and our listeners.
Oh, thank you very much.
Awesome.
And if it happens that you want me on a show again, I'll be more than willing to do it.
We'd love to have you back. Yeah, we'd love to have
you
back. And next time, hopefully, we won't have these technical snafus in the beginning. It was really weird what was going on. But, we'd love to have you back. And, a lot of times with this show, we talk about darker subjects with the paranormal, people talking about demons and evil and all that kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But I think, every once in a while, we need to kind of change the direction of the show and have something a little bit more positive. And I know everybody out there wants things and wants to attract good things in their life. And this is what this show needs. So, yeah, we would love to have you back.
Oh, thank you very much. I look forward to that.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much. And I'm going to put you on mute if you want to just to listen to the last couple minutes of the show. And, Thanks for coming on. All right.
All right.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Oh, Sherry.
Bye.
Wow, that's great. I'm going to be
that
more thankful. Yeah, I the one thing that really resonated with me is when he talks about appreciation, because that is the thing that I completely lack, is I'm not appreciative of anything, and I realize that and I recognize that, and I think that's probably one of the biggest things that I need to change for me personally, is start appreciating things.
I think with me, I appreciate things, but it more feeling more heart-centered and really, on a consistent. I do have spurts where I do appreciate things, but it's not consistent, and that's where I need to work on, so that would be wonderful.
So we're both going to start appreciating more. That's our mission here on Paranormal Horizons.
Yay!
So,
what do we
got next week?
Next week we have, and I don't know the last name. I can't remember how do you pronounce it. It's a Hawaiian last name. It's Joe Panuccio, I believe. He will be coming through from Hawaii. We're going to talk about the white marchers. And
white
so
marchers.
Anyway, so yes, and he is he's a paranormal. On the term paranormal team, and he knows a lot about the hauntings of Hawaii, the Big Island. He has a ghost tour, and I spoke with him last week, and he's just elated to come on the show. So, a wealth of information. So, we're going to start out with the White Marchers, or what do you call that? The something Marchers. Anyway, they're the ones in the King Kamehameha Valley that it was a big war and a lot of the guys have died. So we're going to talk about the spirits that are coming through and a lot of the legends and superstitions that surround that area. So anyway,
that'll be exciting. I don't think we've ever talked to anybody from Hawaii, so that'll be new. And I'm really curious to learn more about the Hawaiian superstitions. So that'll be great.
That'll be awesome. They are the night marchers. Sorry, folks. I keep on thinking it's the white marchers, but they're the night marchers. Hey!
I've never heard of that. I'm going to have to Google that in a second.
Oh.
But that'll be a great show.
It'll be awesome. Anyway, guys, check on my website, Facebook, on Medium Sherry, and I'm going to be offering, beginning of March, I'm going to be offering specials on my reading. So if you're interested, go check on Medium Sherry on Facebook, and I'll be offering mediumship and psychic readings at a discount. Anyway, so we need to recap and let everybody go.
All righty. Well, I just wanted to say that we are approaching our 100th episode, so Sherry, you and I, we need to come up with something different for that one. So that will be probably
that would be awesome.
5 weeks or so, I think Paranormal Horizons will hit 100. So that's right. This show's been going on for 100 weeks. So pretty exciting stuff there. And with that, I'm going to close the show with a commercial that I made for Bill Bean, and hope everybody has a fantastic week.
See you later, everyone. Folks. Thank you.
Hi, this is Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior, deliverance minister, exorcist, star of House of the Dead, author of Dark Force. For more info and updates, please visit www.billjbean.com. And if anyone out there is in need of spiritual assistance, I'll stand for you.